Hey, thanks, Dan. How you doing, guys? Good to see you. It's really nice to be on your video screens, on your smart TVs, on your tablets, on whatever device you're using at the moment. Hey, I love seeing those kids. Wasn't that exciting? We're going to see some more kids stuff soon. But look, here's what I want to encourage you with this morning. We've been talking about finding your fit, and I just want to encourage you this morning to be ordinary. All right, that's all, that's the whole sermon right there. Just be ordinary and you'll be fine. Are you ready for this? Here's what it is. I read this week. I was reminded of the five sola. Anyone that's studied the Protestant movement would know this, that by scripture alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, is how we live. So we're going to read some scriptures, and by faith and through grace, we're going to apply them to our lives this morning. We're going to talk about what it is to be shaped by God. We're going to be talking about what it is to be shaped into the way He has already made us. In other words, we're going to be talking about maturing into how into the shape that God wants us to be. We're going to talk about kingdom principles for kingdom purpose to bring kingdom peace. Kingdom principles to by kingdom purpose to bring kingdom peace. So much peace needed right now. We just need peace, don't we? Honestly, that's our prayer for you. Maybe you have a prayer too. Do you want to be prayed for? Do you want to just put your prayer request in? Our host team is there waiting for you now. You can hit the prayer button. Someone will pray with you online right now. That's how this works, because we know that we have so many requests that we want to bring before God. So why don't you start that now? Doing faith in community is what this is all about. We haven't got a whole bunch of people here, but we know you're with us on the screen right now. So why don't you just connect with someone and let them pray for you this morning. What's the greatest gift you've ever received? What's the greatest gift you've ever received? I want you to tell us about that as well. Someone just tell us, what's the coolest thing? Was it a bike when you were a kid, or was it that wedding ring you got on that day? What was it? Maybe tell us about your greatest gift. At the end of today's message, we're going to share a few of those stories. So if you've got a story about the greatest gift you've ever received, then let us know that as well. Now, here's what I'm supposed to do at the start of every message. I'm supposed to say, the last 2 weeks we've been learning blah. Now, I wrote down notes. I listened to Pastor Stan. I did. Did you listen to Pastor Stan? Of course I did. But honestly, when it comes to my shape, I need reminders, right? I'm not the person that has this really amazing diary with line items. I'm not that guy. You know that about me. I need to be reminded. So I'm going to invite my friend, Pastor Stan, to come and tell us what the heck I'm supposed to already know.
Welcome to my world, day in, day out.
We need a virtual high five.
There we go. I think we kept 1.5 meters.
I've got masks there in case, all right?
So I wasn't even talking into the microphone.
Yeah, talking to the microphone.
I'm frustrating the tech guys. Yeah, I know I am. But anyway, sorry about that. I love you guys. You guys make us sound good, look good, and all that. Could you make me look a little better, though? I'm feeling kind of old and fat. Anyway, hey, yeah, you wanted me to, why did you call me over here?
Tell us the things we're supposed to know from the first 2 weeks.
The things you're supposed to know from the first 2 messages.
You talked about shape. What does shape stand
for? Well, I think they should tell you. But you don't have your computer, so I'll tell you.
Okay, here you go.
Hey, from the first 2 weeks, first of all, the main thing that we really drove home the first week is that we were created by God, and
yes,
we need to accept how He's made us. And we need to try to understand who He's made us to be.
Right.
So we accept, you know, even if we're not impressed with how we think we're made, God made us unique and special. We're valuable. I'm going to preach the whole sermon again.
Yeah, get off. Nice.
And then last week, we picked up on that again and talked about the purpose or the intent for why God's gifted us. So that we can equip other people for ministry, and so that we can empower people, and so that the church can be built up. That's where we're up to
right now. Okay, that's where we're up to?
Can you take us from there somewhere?
I'll tell you from there. Okay, I love giving gifts. And I know you do too.
I do.
There's a mate of mine who has some incredible gifts, and he's blessed the church with it. Okay, you get off. Ladies and gentlemen.
I got to get out of the way to make room for you.
Exactly. You're not allowed on screen anymore. This is my friend Simon. Everyone applause in the chat room.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. I was here last week. I was in the foyer.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, you were too.
Yeah, you weren't here.
Oh, they let you on screen. I forgot about that. I shouldn't have. I told them not to.
Never again.
But that's okay.
Except for now.
You go that side. There we go. Look at that. Ha ha. Hey, it's a dance move. No, we'll stop. Okay, I love giving gifts, and gifts are kind of fun. And this guy gave us so much of his gift in the first 3 months of this online space.
Yes.
Now, his wife and children know this because they didn't see him for a long time. He was just with a headset on in a Zoom room, editing and whatever. And you thought I was getting you up here to talk about your gifts, but actually, mate, we just wanted to give you a gift. Now, this is a very special gift because
Can I show?
You can show people.
There's a table just here.
Because you have put in literally weeks of free work for this church to get on board.
And I brought us all Liberty.
Hey! We know you love a bit of Lego, so there you go.
Thank you, everybody.
Love you, man.
I appreciate that. It was my pleasure.
All right, go away.
Go produce the service.
So would you thank Simon and thanks to the whole Young family for allowing us to use Simon in the way we did to set this whole thing up in the first 3 months. Through Scripture alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, to Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. We're going to start with some scriptures. We're going to talk about kingdom principles for kingdom purpose that bring kingdom peace. The two words, charis and pneuma, grace and spirit, these are the two words that Paul uses to describe the gifts of the Spirit. Paul in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 comes up with these lists that he writes out and he says, these are the gifts that are available to you. Use them to bless others. And so many of us are just trying to find which one is us. But here's what I want to tell us. If we focus our hearts right and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, we don't have to strive for these things. This stuff is supposed to bring peace to our lives, peace to our communities. The church is supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be the people that bring out the God colors of the world. So we need to start by bringing ourselves before God and say, speak to me, bring peace to my heart. We know that a great predictor of you being well off in your life, of you being wealthy, is being born into wealth. We know that a great predictor of health is being born to two parents who were healthy. We know that a great predictor of opportunity is the place you were born, the culture you were born, the nation you were born into. We know all of these things. And yet so many of us are trying to change the circumstances of where we begin. But we can't. We can't. Do you know what? I was born to parents who were musicians, preachers, and teachers. Isn't it surprising? My parents met singing in a musical at university. All right? And they were doing a teacher's degree at the time. And then they became preachers. You know what? When I look at my set of skills, I don't have to look far to figure out where it all began. The previous generation sets up the next generation. Now, for some of us, that's a really disappointing thing to learn because you think the starting point that I have is terrible, Justin. You don't understand. I was born into poverty. I was born to a broken heart. There was all sorts of things. Maybe you have a physical ailment that holds you back from achieving certain things. But here's what we're saying. The whole picture is how you were made and where you started is important to the overall storyline of who we are as a community of faith, as the kingdom of God advancing and bringing peace to the world. We're supposed to be bringers of peace, which means that we accept who we are. That was what Pastor Stan was saying. Accept who we are. But you need faith and you need grace to reign in your life to really feel, you know, comfortable and confident about all of this. So here's what I know. A great predictor of faith is hearing the word of God. That's a great predictor. Great predictor of wealth is being born into wealth. Do you know the riches of heaven are available to us? The wisdom of heaven is available to us. The peace of heaven is available to us. The grace of heaven, it's all there for us. We just need to hear the word of God and get into our hearts. That's why we've been so focused on getting that Bible reading tool going, because we just need to speak the word of God into each other. That's why on a Monday at 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., we're going to be doing those Zoom sessions, just 20 minutes, so that we can read together and focus and reflect on the word of God and let it speak to us. A great predictor of faith is hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, this morning, I wanted to say to you that I wanted to bring my whole house here because there was a whole lot of things I wanted to show you about the gifts. And in fact, if it's all right with you, actually, Simon, is this okay? I might just, okay, I think we're all right. Okay, just follow me, and we'll. I'm just going to take you to my basement, all right? We're going to go to my basement and learn a bit more about the gifts. Let's go, come on.
All right, so welcome back to this spot. Remember this spot? Haven't been here for a little while. As we launched into the shape series, I've got to tell you, I love talking about shape. I love talking about people's spiritual gifts. I love working with people to draw the best out of them. But I've been around church life for a long time. I've been around university and all that sort of thing where they talk about your personality, talk about your strengths and your weaknesses. I've done lots and lots of leadership conferences. I used to go and see John Maxwell speak and come home thinking, I'm going to put a 5-year plan in place and I'm going to hit all these goals. And then that's not me, right? And so many of you that know me know, well, of course, Justin, that's not you. See, to you, that's obvious because you see me from a different angle. But me going into those spaces, I desired to do what those guys were teaching me to do. I've just realized over so many times of going through those kind of conversations that there were things that I simply couldn't do. As a child, I loved playing basketball. I still love playing basketball, but I could dribble the ball and I could shoot okay, and I was pretty good at it. And of course, as a child, I looked at me playing, and then I looked at the TV and Michael Jordan was playing, and of course, my childish brain went, basketball, me, Michael Jordan, I'll do that. I'll just do that. Because why not, right? I can just jump from here to there. And so here's the problem, is that our childlike thinking and our dreaming are so far apart that we think if we just put the right plan in place and do the right training or something, eventually we can hit that. But life has a way of educating you that that's really not how it works. So many of us, we've been using lots of toys, right? And this is the one that came to mind. This is Baymax. Baymax is really cool. This, in the movie, he starts out as just a helper robot to help you feel healthy and he diagnoses things and whatever. And then his owner goes, I'm going to get revenge. And he puts armor on him and suddenly Baymax goes from this soft, gentle guy to this big hero guy. And that's kind of how we imagine it. Or we want to be this guy, just to infinity and beyond. Or of course, Batman. I'm Batman. Why so, and Batman doesn't fly, does he? Batman kind of glides. But you know what? More, this is kind of the toy that I thought might actually be more of a description of how Christians are supposed to think of themselves. You ready? Yeah. Remember Jesus said, go to the man and ask him for the colt. And I will ride that colt into Jerusalem, and that will be my victory. That'll be my victory. My friends, this is the kind of shape that we have to take as Christian people, to be a servant of all. And so when Paul's writing in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, when he's writing these lists of gifts, he's not saying that if you get all of these things in place, you'll become a super apostle like I did. It wasn't a coaching methodology. Paul, when he was Saul, still had the same personality as far as I can tell. He was still gregarious. He was still outrageous. He still would die for what he believed in, except that he didn't have the right teaching. He didn't have the truth in him. And so it took something rather dramatic, being knocked off his horse and blinded for a few days, to actually come to the... Remember, he gets knocked off his horse and he says, who are you, Lord? Who are you? But look, the reason that I came down to my little basement studio again is because behind me this whole time has been this painting. This painting is a painting made by my then girlfriend, now wife and mother of my 5 children. And this is a painting that is made up of a couple of earthen vessels. And in there, Jody and I used to write notes to each other, letters, like you, I like you too, I like you. So Jody took one of these notes one day and cut it up and put it into this painting. We were about 19 at the time. But I remember looking at her folio and finding these pieces. These are some of the pieces she was drawing at the time. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things. They were vessels, earthen vessels. Jody was going through a time in her life where the Holy Spirit had really convicted her of a bunch of stuff, and she was really growing and maturing in her faith. And she'll tell you that story one day, I'm sure. But in going through my basement and clearing up, I found this. This is the journal that Jody put her artwork process in. And this is what it says right here. It says, important. The jars I've been doing have become a way of representing people, for they are people with God in them. what my wife was, what my then girlfriend was doing, was understanding that the Holy Spirit was doing change, was making change happen inside of so many of her friends around her. And she wanted to represent that. So she would draw cityscapes and draw this white line through it. And she would draw mountainscapes and draw this white line through it. And so the Holy Spirit was represented in this white paint filling earthen vessels. And I've got lots of those around, and I keep that here because it reminds me that there was something in that image that was a little bit prophetic about our relationship. It spoke to me. It taught me. Her gifts spoke to me, and they still do. Our gifts, leadership, teaching, evangelism, all of the things that we've gone through, mercy, compassion, all of those things that we've gone through are not so you can go from zero to hero, not so that you can be Baymax, but so that you can learn how to serve and use what God's already put in you. Paul was the same when he was Saul as when he was Paul. His personality, his gifts, all of those things. Paul did miracles. He had the gift of healing. He had the gift of teaching. He had the gift of preaching. He had all of these things, and he spoke about them. But you see that he had a shape. He had a shape, and so. In Acts chapter 19, we see that, you know, handkerchiefs that had touched him were handed to people and they found healing. I mean, this guy lived in another headspace and a heart space. But he was, you know, there's not too many of us that are willing to stay single, lay our lives down and die for this cause and just lay everything on the line all the time, every day and live at that intensity. Paul was the guy that stood up against Peter and said, slay, he rebuked Peter, for heaven's sake. So remember, he said to him, you know, when you're with the Jews, you're like a Jew. When you're with the Christians, you're like a Jew. You can't be inconsistent like that. And he slapped him and he rebuked him. And in his letter, he actually says, and I was correct in rebuking Peter. This guy was confident. Not many of us are like that. Not many of us should be. In fact, I reckon one Paul's kind of enough. What I need us to understand is that as we go through these gifts, these lists of gifts, that your ordinary is all you need. Because here's how I wrote it down, that these are kingdom principles for kingdom purpose to bring kingdom peace. They are kingdom principles for kingdom purpose to bring kingdom peace. This is what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11. He said, is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him and everything ends up in him. Kingdom principles. For kingdom peace. We need peace. But my friends, all you need is all you have. You're ordinary. Check this out. So here's what I want you to do. Romans chapter 12. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Start with sacrifice. Start with sacrifice. It says, therefore, brothers, I urge you, by mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. You've got to start with sacrifice. Take your ordinary, your everyday, and just lay it before him and say, let that be used to your glory for kingdom purposes. Here's what I want you to understand today. All you need to do is be ordinary and be great at it. Just be ordinary and be great at it. Let the Holy Spirit do the work to mature you into the gifts that are already there, into the talents that are already there, and trust the work of the Holy Spirit that he will use you for the good of the kingdom, to bring kingdom peace. We are ministers of reconciliation. Our world needs peace. It always has. It always will. We are supposed to bring the peace, not the fear. We're supposed to live in this space that says, Holy Spirit, teach me, lead me, guide me. I want to do everything to the glory of God, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. This week, our youth leaders have been sharing their testimonies with the youth kids on their youth page, on the WBC youth page. And I saw this particular testimony and I asked permission to share it with you today. This wonderful woman, Nat Graham, took time out of her day to present this in a really unique way. You won't see her face because I don't think she wanted to put her face on the screen, but you will hear her story and you will hear her heart and you will hear how God brought people around her to help her in her life experience. I'm so proud of our youth team and the way they lead. I'm so proud to hear these stories and I know you'll be thrilled to hear this as well. Here's Nat's story.
Anxiety is something I've always struggled with. My earliest memories of my anxiety was as a little kid going to childcare. I just hated it. I would always work myself up with all the questions I would ask myself on the way. What if the kids don't like me? What happens if I can't find anyone to play with? What if they're not very nice to me? My anxiety has been something I've always lived with, my constant companion. This anxiety monster grew as I got older. It grew and grew and grew, just as I did. It got to its worst at the end of year 11 and into the start of year 12, when I was going through VCE. My anxiety became crippling to the point that I developed depression. It felt like I was in a tunnel and there was no light at the end of it. Nearly daily, I would have these panic attacks. Waking up and getting out of bed was just so difficult that I just wanted to stay in bed all day. And when I told my friends at school about it, they just didn't get it. During this time, I went to a leadership camp over summer. It was a Christian leadership camp. Now, Christianity wasn't something new to me. I grew up in the church and I went to a Christian school, but I hadn't really experienced God for myself and the great inescapable love he had for me. At the camp one night, the leader was talking about how Jesus shapes you and molds you to be the person that he can use for his great purpose. That the shaping is painful, but ultimately it makes us better and we're able to be used by a great God. That night, I broke down into tears for hours. God was speaking to me through this message. God even gave a friend this verse that night to give to me in Psalms 62:2. It says, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken." This verse was written by David in the Bible when he was fearing for his life, on the run from people who wanted to kill him. Even though I was not fearing for my life in that moment, I was going through an internal battle with myself. The voice of anxiety and depression was saying, "You're just not good enough, and no one will ever love you." But God was telling me, "I am your rock, and with me you won't be shaken. If you hold on to me, all those voices won't be able to shake you." Some people have these stories of instant healing. Mine wasn't. But God still did some miraculous healing through me. He put some amazing people in my life to help me through this journey of mental illness. He gave me a fantastic Christian counselor and a supportive family. And now I can say that anxiety doesn't control me anymore. I've got a God who is greater than my anxiety. And even though I get times when those voices are worse, I know that my God is my rock and I will not be shaken. And now I get to have a story of how God carried me through my anxiety and a passion for young people who deal with the exact same things that I did. I'm so thankful to God that I get to share God's story in my life so that perhaps another person with anxiety or depression doesn't feel like they are so alone and that they know that they've got a great big God fighting for them.
Kingdom principles for kingdom purpose to bring kingdom peace. You heard in that story, her journey was a tough one, but God brought people around her with gifts that would lift her up, that would teach her, that would bring gifts of wisdom, words of knowledge, pieces of healing into her life and lift her up. So proud of what God has done in and through our youth team and our youth leaders. And it's so wonderful to hear those testimonies. And I know there are hundreds and hundreds of those testimonies out there. Trust the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Be ordinary and be great at it. Romans chapter 12 begins with sacrifice. It says, lay down your lives as a living sacrifice. And it says, be honest with your faith. Just bring your ordinary, your everyday. Pastor Stan's been using that little shape finder thing to say, you know, the circle goes in the circle and the star goes in the star. And I said to him this week, mate, every time I see you do that, I want life to look like that. I want to find the shape and just fit the shape in the hole. But I decided there was another toy that kind of reminds me of how life kind of looks. So many of us want to find our shape, but here's kind of, this is what I brought, and you'll see that this is kind of, that's, yeah. Isn't that what life kind of feels like sometimes? This is my shape. It's kind of all over the shop and it's kind of stretched out. I'm kind of misshapen and I'm some sort of, I don't know what shape I am today and whatever. But here's kind of what I'm thinking. This might help some of you. I'm a picture guy. God takes us and he takes all of our mess and all of our crazy and all of our wobbly misshapenness and he holds it together with his love. He holds us together. That's what he does. He holds us. And he shapes us to look like him. And we are held together in his love. This is what it says in Romans chapter 12. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouragement, guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Friends, I want to just remind you, you can click the link in the description there today and fill out the form that talks about shape. Fill that out and a small group leader will be in touch with you. If you actually want to join a small group and get around a group like Nat did, then click that link and ask our host team today. I want to get involved in a small group. I want to have a team around me. If you want prayer today, maybe you're thinking, I'm too ordinary, you know? You need to be okay with your own ordinary. Would you be brave enough to actually ask for prayer and ask for help like Nat did, like we're reading in the scriptures, like I have so many times? I was asked this week when talking to my health insurer, they wanted to do an update of my health insurance and they asked a bunch of personal questions about my health. And I realized that as they were asking, they're going, did you ever get counseling for any reason? And I said, yeah, of course. Of course I have. Of course I've received counseling. Because we all need help sometimes. We all need other people to help lift us up and hold us together. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is holding us together and he brings other people around us to say, no, I'm still here with you. I'm still looking after you. I want to encourage us to be ordinary and be great at it. Let's head back to the auditorium. Here we go.
Thanks for that. Thanks for being patient with us. What's his name? Bullseye. Bullseye is the name of the horse, and I just love that little image. I hope that really helped you too. I've got my slime in a barrel. I recommend to any family, don't buy slime in a barrel. It will get stuck in annoying places of your house, and it will mess things up. I wanted to say, we asked before what your greatest gift that you've received is. Timothy wrote, my ceiling at the end of my life is my children's floor into the future. That was a great, I love that. I love that. He's talking about the gift of his children and that the ceiling at the end of his life is the floor to the children's future. I love that. People wrote about Leanne wrote, our granddaughters and our grandchildren are the greatest gift. And it's all about love. Love from my husband. Oh, isn't that nice? So keep telling us about the greatest gift you've received. My friends, there's a few things that Paul points out in Romans 12. That we need to hear. Remember, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So let's hear the word of God. This is Romans 12. I'm reading from the Message version. It says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians and be inventive in hospitality. Make it up. Be inventive. bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down and get along with each other and don't be stuck up and make friends with nobodies and don't be the great somebody. In other words, accept who you are. Accept the help of those around you. Let the Holy Spirit do the work in you. Don't try and go from zero to hero. That's not our job. Just be the one that carries the word. You know, the image of the donkey bringing Jesus into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. If we're the servant, then we're the ones that carry the message of Jesus. We're the ones that bring Jesus into the conversation, bring Jesus into the shape of the relationships that we have. We bring Jesus into our understanding of ourselves. Romans chapter 12, from verse 9 there that we just read, teaches us how to apply the gifts that Paul's just told us about. If you're preaching, teaching, serving, got the gift of hospitality, this is how to apply them. Apply them selflessly and with grace. That's really hard to do when you're feeling a bit wound up about it and you need recognition for it and you just wish people would understand how much work you've done to apply your gift. And any grown-up in the room knows that no child fully understands what you had to do to put that meal on the table. They just eat the food and say thank you. Well, hopefully they say thank you. We have to be thankful for what we've been handed. We've been handed the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. We've been handed the testimony of saints down through the centuries. And we don't know what they had to do to walk through and bring this Word to us. But I'm thankful they did. And each generation builds on the last, not fully understanding, but hopefully grasping that a foundation has been laid. Here's what I want to tell you. Don't be nice. Verse 10 says, don't be nice. Love genuinely. That's harder than being nice. Don't overwork. For all the workaholics out there, don't overwork. Verse 11 says, just work enthusiastically. Bring the heart to it. Verse 12, don't wait to help. Be ready to help. It's a position. It's a posture. I'm ready to help. Don't stand out. There's no point. But practice inventive hospitality. Don't curse, bless. If you're going to be happy in a group. Laugh with those who laugh. Share the joy. If you're going to be sad, don't do it alone. Don't do sadness alone. Cry with others, weep with others. It says weep with those who weep. Be ordinary and be great at it. I hope that you know that you're as ordinary as you need to be and as extraordinary as God made you. I hope you know that you are held, that your messy, misshapen wobbliness and all the stuff that we described, you are held by the love of God. He holds you in that shape and He says, my child, you're good enough. But let the Word of God speak to you through Scripture alone. By grace alone, through faith alone, through Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Just be ordinary and be great at it. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the way people have responded in the chat room. And I pray that this word would keep speaking to people and keep shaping us. I pray that we would allow the work of the Holy Spirit to mature us and to help us understand that we have been made this way on purpose with a purpose. That we carry kingdom principles for kingdom purpose to bring kingdom peace. In Jesus' name.